Amen. Get your Bibles. Go to Acts 4. Starting at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed." If you're not on your feet, get on your feet.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
"Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Ooh, keep that verse in mind. "And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Verse 5, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" My favorite verse in this story right here. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you, whole. And before you take your seats, somebody look at somebody and say, no matter what you do, stay full." Take your seat. Look at somebody else and say, "Neighbor, stay full." When we pick this story up, this is on the heels of Acts 2, where they were in the upper room, followed directions. Jesus has ascended, right hand of the Father, and the instructions were, thank you, Holy Ghost. The instructions were, go to the upper room, stay together, pray, and wait. Hallelujah. There are some of us who don't want to wait. Who don't want to wait for God to intervene. When I say wait, I don't mean literally sit on your thumbs, but I mean to be in a place where God can use you and bless you the way he determines that he's going to bless you. And there are some of us who have a tendency to move from here to there without ever getting the blessing of God, because we have obeyed his instruction to go to a certain place and wait. And so they wait, and the Holy Ghost comes upon them as a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And so then after that, in chapter 3, there's a lame man sitting by the gate. Amen? In other words, if I were to come through the front door of the church, there would be a person sitting right at the front door as you all and myself came into the church. And it has been customary that this person has been sitting there for some time. Because people are used to him just sitting there, not getting healed, but just sitting there. The thing about this man is, the only thing that's wrong with him are his ankles are messed up. What are you saying, preacher? That if, when something goes wrong, it's not a whole bunch of stuff. It's usually one thing. It's interesting how one thing can take you off course. It's interesting how one thing can cause you to go all the way to the left. It don't have to be two or three or four or five things. It's one thing that causes this man to be lame. And as he is lame, he has subjected himself to just sitting outside the church. Not going in the church, but just sitting outside and begging, living beneath his blessing. Hallelujah. And so this man runs up against Peter. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, raise up and walk." So he gets up. Now look at God. When God heals you, he does such a complete thing that he's able to get up right away and start hopping and jumping. My God. He don't need a cast. He don't have to go through no healing process. He don't need no rehabilitation. Immediately, y'all better talk back to me. When God decides to do something in your life, hallelujah, if you're ready for it, God can do it right now. Y'all talk back to me. When God gets ready to move in your life, if you are prepared for it, look at this. In a hurtful state, but your soul is ready to come out of that thing, God will move in a particular way. It's a blessing. So, this man, he's so excited, goes off. And he's telling everybody about it. And the thing that gets me is that the people that knew this man are all of a sudden saying, "How are you walking?" Hallelujah. When God do something for you, you're going to have some haters.
That's right.
Y'all better talk back to me. I need somebody to talk back to me. You're going to have some haters. When God does something miraculous in your life. Hallelujah. And you, and now look, this man, you know, he's I ran into these two priests. And he prophesied over my life and blessed me. I was able to get up and walk. So they said, "Okay, well, we're not going to deal with you. Let's go find the people that's responsible for this miracle." All right, so that's where we come up on chapter 4. And it says, while Peter and John speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them. Now, you got to understand something here. The thing that I love about this is these are not outside folk. This is the church.
All right.
This is the Old Testament church coming to the New Testament church and saying, "What are you doing?" So they come and they begin to question because now... they figure that this dude is doing something that he had no business doing. Watch this now. They're doing something that they themselves don't have the power to do. When powerless folk enter your realm, they're going to hate on you because they themselves don't have the power to do what God has enabled you to do. Don't get upset when folk that don't have no power come into your circle. Because they coming into your circle so that God can make an example out of them. That when you and God get together, that when God decides to infill you with his spirit, that there is nothing that you can't do with God on your side. How is it that you won't deal with some folks that are in the church and begin to question your spirit? Has anybody ever been in that scenario? They say you ain't saved. They say you ain't got no power. They say you ain't right. But all along, God is working. This was the same Peter that cut you out. The same Peter that cut your ear off. The same Peter that Jesus told, you're going to deny me 3 times. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can't look at your past. If God is working on you now, you better line up with his will and receive his glory in your life. Hey, these dudes came to him and they came and they came looking for Peter because Peter now is doing some work. Why is he doing this work? Because he's full.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then the second verse says that they are much annoyed. It's a continuation of the first verse.
Yes. It
says that they are much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus, there is the resurrection of the dead. Woo-hoo! Stay with me here. Let me teach y'all something.
Come on.
Resurrection was not a widely accepted concept.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So for Jesus to get up from the dead means that you have to accept something that wasn't normally taught.
Yeah.
And was not normally accepted. Even the disciples, when Jesus first got up, had determined that somebody had stolen his body.
Yeah.
They didn't say that Jesus got up and was celebrating. They said somebody must have stole his body. And he had to reveal himself to them. And as he revealed himself, then they understood that Jesus got up from the dead. So now, resurrection during biblical times was not something that was widespread accepted. And if you're going to tell them at that time that this man got up from the dead, then you are not telling me the truth.
Come on.
Oh, let me fast forward to 2015. Every time you come back from the brink of destruction, and you come back from almost being dead, there are going to be some people that say, that was not of God that you came back. Hallelujah. It disturbs some people. The Bible says it vexed their spirit. In other words, how can this person who says he's come back from the dead do this work in this man who's going around preaching and folk are getting saved and healed? Every time you come back from the brink of destruction and give God glory, it confuses some people and causes some folk to question, how did you make it back? How did you come out of this? How did you get blessed? How did you get saved? How did you come out of this thing? It was nothing but the blood of Jesus. Has anybody come back more than once? Y'all talk back to me. Anybody come back more than once, more than twice, more than 3 times? God has had to bring you back. And every time he brought you back, somebody said, how did you make it out? It was the Lord that did it. Because every time I come back, I get closer to Jesus and away from man. Y'all stay with me. Some of y'all didn't catch that last one. Every time I come back from something, I get closer to my Lord and Savior and away from the first Adam. Y'all ain't saying that back to me. I get away from death and I move towards life. Every time he does something for me, every time I do it, he keeps on doing. Look at somebody say, it's too late, it's too late. Why is it too late? Because even though they put them in jail, the damage had already been done. About 5,000 said, I believe in Jesus Christ. They can put you where they want to put you, but it's too late because you done already spoke your testimony. You done already told somebody about the goodness of Jesus. It's too late. They can't do nothing with you. Look at somebody and say, you can't do nothing with me. 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 When I start talking about my Lord and my Savior, you can't do nothing with me. If you hang around me long enough, something is bound to happen. Because when I start talking about the power of the Lord, something is going to take place. You better step back if you don't want nothing to happen. Because me and the Lord. Hallelujah. Already too late. Hallelujah. You can do what you want with me. The damage has already been done. There's some folk that saved and want to be sanctified. And they're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. If the sheriff come in here today and want to take me to jail, I say take me wherever you want to take me. Because the people in this room have already heard of the goodness of Jesus. And all that he's done for me is too late. The damage has been done. And when you put me in jail, you better give me a solo cage. Because if I get together with some people, something is going to happen. Even in the cage. And at midnight, singing and praising God. Some of y'all are scared to be by yourself. Be by yourself. So next day, they decide to put them on trial. So they come back the next day. And they just don't come back. They bring the whole family that was in charge. And you say, well, by what power or whose name are you doing this in? Now, you got to understand the question. First of all, there's a recognition that there is something else other than them that's operating. Hallelujah. And they're trying to figure out how are you doing this? You see, they believe God the Father, but they don't want to give Jesus no love.
That's right.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me help some of y'all out.
Come on now.
If you're calling yourself a Christian, at the center of your theology is Jesus.
Yes.
Because you can't get to the Lord without going through the Son. And so if you say you believe in God the Father, you got to go through his Son, Jesus. They was trying to get to the Father without going through the Son. And they say, what name or what power are you doing? How are you accomplishing this? I've been in ministry 35 years. And I have yet to see that many people come to the Lord. Peter says, hold up now. Let me tell you something. He says, if we question today for doing a good deed to someone who is sick and ask how this man has been healed, he said, let me tell you right now, let's not get this thing twisted. Amen. This healing that you saw take place came through Jesus Christ. And then he gets a little indignant. He says, yeah, the one that you hung on the cross, the one that you crucified, the one that you did wrong, the one that you beat up, he got up on the third day. And it's through him that the power resonates in us and that we're able to do his will That's why I was able to speak out into the atmosphere and say, get up, man, with the lame ankles. He said, that's how it's done. Wait a minute. Jesus?
Yeah.
The cornerstone.